Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
But guys, I want to share, you know, I was thinking about this, that we only have one life. We talked about this in the beginning of the first hour, but we only have one life. God doesn't give us five or six or seven. You know, we don't come back, you know, into a cow or anything like that. We only have one life on earth, just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what David, King David, wrote in the Psalm 39:4. And you can hear his heart cry in this psalm. He says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You made my days a handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is a breath, even those who seem secure. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. I mean, it's sobering to consider one's life. It's a sobering thing, you know, to think and to pause and to think about, okay, my life here. And many, I believe, are living aimlessly. They're tossed, you know, back and forth by every, you know, wind, everything that's going on, without any true sense of purpose or direction. I mean, just look at it. Content to watch reality TV instead of living a true reality, instead of living a life filled with purposeful aim reality.
Right.
And they're just living for the moment. Just living for the moment. Even there's a phrase that's been out here for a little while that people have been saying. It's called YOLO. And it stands for you only live once. YOLO. Meaning do whatever you want to do and give no concern about the consequences. Just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. You only live once. The problem with that is that, yeah, you're right. You only live once, but the consequences of wrong living will affect you for eternity. Yeah, you're right. You only live once. So it's not do anything and throw off any kind of concerns or restraint and just live recklessly because you only live once. But it's just the complete opposite, because you only live once.
That's right.
Because your feet only touch this soil once. What you do with your life will not only have tremendous significance for yourself, for your family, but for all eternity. I'm talking about eternity here. So many times we look back in history and we look at people's lives and you look back and you see someone that's blessed and you look back and then they start talking about, well, you know, my grandfather and my great-grandfather and they did this and you saw that somebody's life counted. They made their life count. How many immigrants have come across to this country with nothing, with zero, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And because they got to work, they believed in the dream, they had a vision, they just worked hard, they started to do something, they started to create something. And now you see businesses in your own community that say 50 years in running, since 1906, since 1855, since whatever, this thing has been going on. And it's because somebody recognized that they only lived once. And we got to recognize it as believers that we're only passing through, that we're not serving just our generation, but we're serving the generation that is to come, right?
That's right.
But a person that truly gets this, they understand this. They really understand, too, that there are eternal consequences to how we live. I mean, our decision, the greatest decisions that we'll ever make concerning our, you know, in our life, our greatest decision is, what are we going to do with this amazing man, Jesus? What are we going to do with him? Is he going to be the Lord of our life? And what we do with that one decision will affect all eternity, and how we live our life will affect all eternity. Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And I just think about this, guys. How many times do people sit back and evaluate what they're doing? They evaluate their life. They evaluate their impact. They evaluate why they're working at their job, why they're living in a certain place. Why do they keep certain friends and acquaintances and run in certain circles? Why? Why? Like Missy Edwards says, what's the point?
Yeah, right.
Why? And it's been my experience. It's been my experience that many people are not in tune with the reality when it comes to life. Just not in tune with it. I mean, most feel that they're going to live a very, very long life.
Yeah.
And are shocked when someone's life is cut short. I mean, just shocked. But where I want to know, I mean, just let me know, is every single person promised a long life? I didn't get that memo. I mean, forward it to me.
Nope.
But think about it. Who's we don't know. We don't know what life holds. Or they live with the idea that I'm not going to get sick. I don't believe sickness is of God. I don't, you know, claim. I don't want to receive any of them. And I believe in divine health. I believe in divine healing.
Right.
But people in this world do get sick, and they're shocked. And what's more shocking is that they weren't prepared for it. Like now they begin to live. You know what I mean? Like they give no thought of all the things that could happen that could dramatically alter their life. And why does it take having a disease, a life-ending disease? Why does it take a cancer? Why does it take something that's going to shut your life down for someone to grasp and say, oh my goodness, I only have one life, and now I'm going to live it. I'm going to do a bucket list. I'm going to do this. Wait a minute. What? Why did something tragic have to wake us up? And at that particular point, if it happens later in your life and you've been just cruising through, you realize of all the wasted years, all the wasted time, all the frivolous things that were done with no eternal significant value for Jesus. And God has put us on this earth. If you're a Christian today, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called you to bear fruit, and much fruit that will last. He's going to inspect it. We got to have fruit for him.
Right.
And the question is, what are we going to have when we see him? We're going to see him face to face. I don't want to, you know, he's going to reward us. I always say, I want a good crown. I don't want a Burger King crown. I want a real crown.
The real deal.
I want the real deal because I want to lay something at his feet. I don't want the tan, you know. Can you imagine some people get a tan crown, a bronze crown, gold? And I believe this, you know, this is going to be a Burger King crown for somebody. You know, it's like, and when you get your crown, when you get your reward, you're going to hold it and you're going to, the only thing you can do is just cast it at his feet and say, I'm not even worthy of this. I'm not even worthy of this. And I don't want to pull a Burger King crown off my head and say, here you go, Lord. I want to have something to give him because I believe I'm going to see him face to face. And that's your hope if you know him as your Lord and Savior. But I wanted to challenge us to number our days, to recognize that we have this one life, and what you do with this one life matters. You can make a change today. Don't be sick. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait for something to happen, but allow yourself to be awakened even now. Even now.
not a coincidence that you're sitting here listening to me. You've got one life to live. You've got one opportunity to let your light shine in darkness. One opportunity to explore what the power of God can do through a yielded vessel. This is it. Something within you can say, God, I want my life to count. God, I do not want to waste my life. People who do not know the Lord ask us, why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries? So they fail to recognize that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they'll have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years, the lives that they have wasted. Methodist preacher W.E. Sangster said, how should I feel at the judgment? If multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride. Come on. What stop is it? Fear of man, fear of failure, just a history of spiritual apathy, is it the inability to get out of a rut? What's stopping you? If your life is right with him, look in the mirror and say, God is with me. God is in me. I want my life to count. You say, what do? Go after him. Seek his face. Cry out. Shut off the TV. Turn off the computer. Put away the unnecessary distractions. Cancel some of the unnecessary appointments. Go after God. Seek his face. Pour through his word. Read things. Listen to things that stimulate you, charge you, and then walk in the light you have.
That was so powerful. That was so powerful. That was Dr. Brown charging us. And I'm charging you today. I mean, what would happen if you woke up? What would happen if you were really, really awake? What would happen if you gave Jesus your whole life and held nothing back? Think about the possibilities. Think about it. What would happen if you let go of your fears and went after Jesus with everything you had, with every bit of viper? What would happen if you truly sold your life for Jesus and for the gospel? Mm-hmm. I mean, John 12:24 says, verily, truly, I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I mean, the sowing of your life can turn an entire people. Don't let nothing get in your way of giving Jesus everything. Refuse to watch others go after God and be used by God. Make your life count. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. That's what Leonard Ravenhill said. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. And I love what Jim Elliot said. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Give it all for Jesus, the one life that you have. Because we're talking about one life. Just one. Just one life we've been given. And we talked about how life is just a mere vapor. And we're here today, and literally, I mean, we're gone tomorrow. We have often spoken about how life just seems to be just flying by. And how you have to force time to comply with your destiny. But you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up and understand that, you know, we've got to live reality. We can't watch reality. We have to live reality. And that's not even real. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been given a life. And I love what David wrote. I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's just so inspired by God. But he says, you made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you, and each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. I want to tell you that we can gain all these things, you know, material things on this world, and we can do the things that people are living for and going here and going there. But you got to ask yourself, what of all of this has significant eternal value? What matters in the end? And the question is, you know, is what you're living for worth Jesus Christ dying for?
Right.
What are we living for? What are we living for? And it's nothing – There's nothing more beautiful than to know that you have given your life for the cause of Christ, that you've given your life to leave an impact for someone, that you've touched someone and that you've touched God. There's a place where you can walk with God. I mean, I think about Enoch and how the Word of God tells us that Enoch walked with God and was no more. I mean, Enoch did not die. God just took him up. God just took Enoch up. And there's a place, there's a place, and you look throughout the Old Testament, you hear, and he walked with God, and Abraham walked with God, and Enoch walked with God, and Elijah walked with God. You can walk with God today. You can walk with God, and you can allow him to touch you in such a way that he will use you for greater and amazing things. He specializes in taking the nobodies. I mean, just look at us. And he'll touch you so that you can touch others. He'll touch you so that you can touch others for him. And your life right now is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life is your gift to him. What type of gift will you have for him? I pray that it's a good one. And so we have one life. Let's give that whole life to him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret so shameful that you've never spoken of it? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Julie Barnhill offering a suggestion to help find healing.
The first thing you have to do is you have to own it. And I tell women this all the time. I believe there's something powerful about speaking what is your secret, speaking that is so shameful. And I will encourage women, especially when we have workshops, and I'll say, I want you at some point today, whether it's you go to a wall and you cup your mouth and you just whisper it just so you can hear it, that you say that awful, ugly thing.
Speaking a shameful secret out loud, even to yourself, may help reduce its power over you and can bring some much-needed relief. Now, if you need help with a painful issue, consider our counseling hotline at 1-800, the letter A, and the word family.
There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion, you know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. You can write your own devotional. Listen. Just try it for 6 weeks. They say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. and just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, guys, of all the things that Jesus could pray for, the disciples could ask Jesus to help them with, they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Mm. I mean, of all the things they could have asked the Lord, they said, teach us to pray. And the Bible tells us that oftentimes, you know, Jesus was early seeking God and on, you know, by himself. Mm-hmm. And they had to be looking at Jesus's prayer life. They had to be looking at, you know, what the Lord was doing and with his time. I mean, they saw the signs and the wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw the multitudes. They saw Jesus teaching with power and authority. But they also saw how Jesus would be by himself mm-hmm. in the morning in prayer. So much so, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew 18:18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, but he also gave them and gives us today authority. The authority we have as a believer, as a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our Savior, we have the ability to pray, and we have the authority in Jesus' name. And in Luke 10:19, he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and no thing will harm you. Mm-hmm. And so I think oftentimes we can forget that God has given us authority to pray, authority to transact kingdom business. And you look at what was happening in Acts. I mean, this is like the first moments of the church being recorded. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful to see what they did with what the Lord gave them. I mean, God, you know, Jesus poured into them for 3 years. And now they were walking out everything that he had taught them, mm-hmm. and they were obeying his word. But we find that in Acts 12, verse 1, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Now think about that. Here is this wicked Herod.
Yeah.
He is arresting the church. And with all the intention now of persecuting and doing them harm. Now get this. In the second verse, he says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So already, I mean, these are not empty threats, but we already know that he had James already put to death. This was a really serious thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And this is not good. And so he also saw that it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now, think about this. I mean, here's a church being persecuted. Things are happening. And sometimes, you know, people wonder how come bad things happen. It's like, listen, in life you're going to have good stuff. There's going to be some bad stuff. And don't forget that the enemy is loose on the earth today. His plan is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so God wants us. God has equipped us. He's given us the ability to pray. He's given us the ability to touch heaven. He's given us the ability to bind on earth, to loose, right? Mm-hmm. And to you know, transact kingdom business. And so God allows us to do this. And you ask, you know, why did God allow this? Well, you know, God has given the earth to us for man to rule. He's giving it to us to rule. You know, the Lord oftentimes will not make a decision for us. He requires that we invite him into our affairs. That we invite the Lord into what's going on. He doesn't control us, right? He will not act oftentimes in an area that he has already empowered us to do. He's already given us the authority. He's already given us the ability to pray. And he wants us to exercise that authority that he has given us. He wants us to exercise it. He doesn't want us to become spiritually lazy.
All right.
Right? But he wants us to go in the place of battle, in the place of prayer, and to deal with the enemy. Because the enemy, like we said earlier, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what we're talking about is the authority of the believer. You know, all authority was established with God. And you look back at the Bible, and you look in the Bible that God gave that authority over to Adam. Right? God gave that authority to Adam, and Adam lost that authority. He lost the keys when he fell into sin because of Satan, him and Eve fell into sin. So God had the authority. He gave the keys over to Adam. Now, now Adam lost the keys to Satan, and Jesus, who's the second Adam, had to come to restore all things, right? And to regain the keys that the enemy stole. And God gives us that authority today.
That's right.
He gives us that authority today. And so we need to be vigilant in prayer. So in verse 4, Peter was arrested. He's put into prison, and he's guarded by 16 guards, and he's locked up in chains.
Oh, wow.
And Herod intended to bring him to public trial after the Passover. So Peter's in trouble. He already knows that James was already killed by the sword. And here there's 16 guards, you know, guarding over Peter. But verse 5, I love this verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
That's right.
But the church. My goodness, there's nothing like the praying church. There's nothing like when believers get together and they say, I am going to pray for you, and they mean it, and they do it, and God answers as a result. The church was praying. They were operating in authority, and they were not going to let Peter go down.
That's right.
They were praying. The power of prayer, the authority of the Lord, the authority of the believer. I mean, the word tells us that we've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, not some, all the power of the enemy, and no thing will harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they prayed. So they prayed, but in verse 7, this is what happened. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. You're talking about divine intervention. You're talking about the supernatural. You're talking about prayer that released angels, right? An angel to actually escort Peter outside of this prison. And so he was kind of a little bit confused. He didn't know what was going on, Peter, but he just followed. He gets out in the middle of the road, and this is Peter's confession. This is what Peter says. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. So here you see the church was praying. Peter gets free supernaturally. This is divine.
Yeah.
Supernaturally. And so he, in verse 12, he begins to walk to Mary's house, right? The mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and where they were praying. Now, in verse 13, it says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door.
Shock.
You know, and of course, this they encouraged me, you know. You know, you look at the book of Acts, you see all these signs and wonders, and you think these were holy people. They were so perfect.
Right.
Oh my goodness. They, you know, these guys walked with Jesus, you know. They're human just like all of us, you know. And what was their response? This great prayer service that was happening there, what was their response? they said, "You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. What are you talking about? Now you're praying that God would touch Peter, that God would intervene, right, that God would set Peter free," right?
Makes you wonder, were they praying with faith or just out of their heads? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how it is. It's just praying, you know, and this is the thing when you're praying that sometimes you try to pray your will or how you think it's going
to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of plan it out. You just want to pray, God, your will be done, and let God do what he's going to do. Don't project on how it's going to happen. And I think that's the temptation we all have to say, well, Lord, I just pray, and we try to pray with some reasoning and some logic according to us, but we don't pray, God, you lead, I follow. Mm-hmm. You lead, I follow, and I'm not even going to begin to tell you what the steps are. I'm just going to go ahead and follow. And I believe it's probably the temptation that they probably face in this moment because they were shocked that she said, get you out of your mind. So when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. It can't be Peter.
Can't be
Peter. Shh, shh, stop praying. Stop praying. Peter is at the door. No, he's not there. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord brought him out of prison. I mean, can you imagine the roar? Shh, let me inside here.
Right.
And he testified on how they, moving in authority, praying, God heard their prayer. Let me tell you something. The power of a praying church, the power of the believer that knows that they have been given authority by God, and they pray in faith, watch and see what happens. Watch and see what happens. I'm telling you that this encourages us to know that God, you know, when we obey God, you know, he partners with us. He partners with us when we pray according to his will. And I'm just so encouraged by that because it's the authority that the Lord has given us. And when we execute that authority, when we function in the purpose that God's given us, then things happen.
That's right.
On earth as it is in heaven. And can you imagine the testimonies that came after that? All of a sudden, he was banging on the door and it was Peter. We told Rhoda she was out of her mind. We told her, I don't know what happened. But God set Peter free. The authority of the believer.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel, and we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a, you know, great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I remember, I was sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in, he's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Understand this, that when you go with God, you're going to go against the grain. You know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. And understand this, that do you want to go on the wide road or do you want to go on the narrow road? Listen, God wants everybody to be on the narrow road. But that's Jesus saying that. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, Howard Pittman wrote his book, The Placebo Gospel. You know, and I don't know how much time we have, but right, coming to this. I want to share this. You got a moment? Can I share this with you?
Yeah.
Howard Pittman, he wrote this book. And we want to share with you, you know, things that we've experienced so that you can just hear it. I can just download it to you right now and you can hear it. So you can read it. It's Howard Pittman's Placebo Gospel. And in this, he was a sheriff. Oh, he was an officer, and he just started a ministry pastoring a church for about maybe 2 or 3 years. You know, these are all variations. The exactness of these things, and that he decided that he felt like he was supposed to run for sheriff. You know, and so he's serving God. He's pastoring a church, John, a traditional church. It's a building. He's showing up. He's pastoring it, and so he feels like, you know, this is what I'm doing for God. You know, and then but he feels supposed to run for sheriff as well. So he's out running to a particular supporter, and he's going to stop by their house because they're going to give him support for his office or something. And then all of a sudden, he has a heart attack. I think about the James 4:15. Somebody says, "What time is it?" We always go, "It's always 4:15," which means my plans are subject to change anytime God wants them to. He says, "A man should always say, if it's in God's will, this is what I'll do." And what happened was Howard Pittman had a heart attack, and next thing you know, he's on the operating table, and he leaves his body, and he dies on the operating table, and he goes. An angel comes and escorts him to heaven. And he's literally watching this whole transaction of people that have been saved, that have died, that are going to the throne room of God. And he looks over at a certain number of people, and it's just like maybe 100 people or so that are going to the throne room of God. And he goes, "What are those people over there?" And the angel goes, "These are people that were saved." He goes, "That's wonderful." And he goes, "No." He says something like 2,700 just died.
Wow.
You know, and the numbers, I'm pulling the numbers, you know, and you can verify this with the book, the exact numbers, but it was just a horrendous difference of those who, and you understand, they died too, but they did not go to heaven. They went to hell. Mm-hmm. And so it was just rocking his paradigms, you know, and he's like, "Oh," and he says, "So, can I go with them to go to the throne room?" And the angels tell him, no, not for that. And so he brings them to a throne room outside of a doorway of God's throne room, if you would, like just a doorway kind of thing. And he is standing to the side. The angel kind of put him to the side. He didn't see God. And he knows he feels like he's about to see God. He's going to talk to God. And so he has this whole list. He's literally got a paper list that he's writing or wrote, and he's going to explain to God. He's going to explain to God why he needs to run for sheriff. It's like, dude, you're in heaven, man. Why would you want to go back and run for sheriff? Come on. And so, and he's got this whole list of explaining to God why he feels he needs to go back to be able to do what he feels he's called to do. I mean, you're God telling God what God's called you to do, right? That's something. And so all of a sudden, as he's tucked away, hidden behind this door threshold thing, and, you know, he can't see God. He just knows God's behind that thing. And all of a sudden, imagine every single storm you ever heard at the very same time, just like, just imagine this huge, huge sound. It's just, and it was the voice of God. And he says in his book, he's writing this, he says, and I dropped my list. What happened was that he realized that he had totally done it all wrong. He had done it all wrong. Even though he was a minister, even though he was a preacher, even though he had a church, he was all wrong. And he realized at some point, and so he heard this big sternness of God's voice that came out that just totally crushed him in the concepts of all of his ideas and concepts. And as he began to humble himself, and then the other kindness part of God began to relate to him and comfort him. So it had the kindness and the sternness of a father, and it just whole encounter and his whole paradigm just instantly just shook. And all this religion is thrown out. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, it makes me think about what we're talking about. You know, you got to hear, if you missed it, you've got to hear what happened today in the first and the extra hour. You know, time is short, but it's short in regards to making a change.
That's right.
You know, we can make a change, or it's short in regards to somebody else making a change and we're living with it. But, you know, I think about this. There was this couple, John, there was this couple that had this child. And this child never talked. You know, most children kind of go, what? They begin like, ga-ga, goo-goo, something like that, right? Right? Is that right?
Or feed me.
Well, later on, yeah, it's like,
feed me.
No, and then... And then, you know, so they took the child to the doctors, you know, and the doctor says everything seems all right, everything's okay. And so they waited, maybe they just needed some more time, and so the child grew older, you know, this toddler, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and he's like, you know, he's still not talking. Mm. He's still not talking. And so they just think, well, I guess he just doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he got around 6 years old and he still hasn't said a word. Mm. Hasn't said a word. And they finally take him to another doctor. Just listen, check him out. Make sure, you know, and they said, we looked him over. He has everything. He has all the parts. I mean, everything's there. I don't know why he's not talking, but he could talk. I mean, he has the thing. I mean, everything's there. Mm. And so on his 7th birthday, his mama fixed him breakfast, and his dad was in there reading the newspaper in the kitchen. And she puts his breakfast in front of him. And this kid that hasn't talked up until 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Seven.
Seven. Who has all these parts to talk. He goes, Mama, this toast is burnt like the devil. And so with that, the parents are like just jumping around and celebrating, and they're just so happy. They're just exhilarated that, oh, our son can talk. He can talk. We thought he couldn't talk, but he can talk. And they're just, oh, they're just how happy. And then all of a sudden they came to a certain point. They began to wonder, And so they looked at him. If you can talk, son, if you can talk, why didn't you say something? He said, up to now, everything's been okay. And let me tell you something, this is the church.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Now, let me tell you right now, if you're listening and you're all caught up in the religion, just walk away from religion. Listen, you could be standing there like Howard was and with all this religion in your pocket and have to drop it down, and it meant nothing to God, you know, and it's about doing what God says to do in the right way. And so he realizes that when God, he comes back into his body, you know, I'm actually doing this quickly, but it's Howard Pittman's book, the Placebo Gospel. And a placebo, let me explain what a placebo is for those that might not know what a placebo is. If they're going to have a new medication, they're going to try it out, and they're going to see if it works or not. They'll take 10 subjects, for example, or say 100 subjects. And 50 of them they will give the new medication to, and 50 of them they'll give like a sugar pill to, something that's nothing. And it's called the placebo. And then they'll measure the results of what happens to these individuals. And, of course, the placebo is nothing. But they're trying to find out, if I give them the medicine, the other 50, the medicine, will they be any different than the people who had the placebo? And they can measure that way whether this medicine works or not. And sometimes they find out that the placebo has some things that take place, but it doesn't do the job, you know? And the book's called The Placebo Gospel. And there's a gospel being preached that it's a placebo gospel. There's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. And it's been done so well, and it looks like the pill, and it sounds like the pill of the gospel, but it's not the right one, because there's no doing involved in the aspect of it. You know, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And so Jesus called them to himself, then he sent them out from him. And then he said, go and do likewise. And so, you know, with that, he makes it back, you know, to his body, and he's so sorrowful for all of his life to that point. And he basically, I believe he reasoned with the Lord of saying that, if you just give me a little bit more time, I'll make this right. And so he goes back. When he comes back to his body, he spends the rest of his life traveling the world, telling everybody about the true Jesus, the true God, the kindness and the sternness of God, that it's not some religious whatever. It's not trying to please men. It's pleasing God, that it's an intimate relationship. Truly, there's an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. You know, this is the reason why we call him holy and righteous and mighty, and that, you know, understanding that he preached this all over the world, and so many people had come to know God. He left all that religion behind, and he got it, and God gave him mercy to come back to do things right. And so I just want to encourage you that repentance, when we were talking about that in the first hour, and we're talking about it even in this extra hour today, that understanding this journey is you got to change everything. You got to change everything, and you got to want to do it. And understanding that you want to do it is because you want to be with Jesus. You find out he loves you. You know, it was real tough when he heard the sternness of God, but he melted when the kindness of God began to comfort him. You know, for example, if you have a child that you have to spank, that child is the last thing you want to do, or discipline that child. But after you finish disciplining them, then you comfort them, and it helps the child understand what's really going on, you know, and that's what God was doing to him, the kindness and the sternness of God. And so in that, he talks about the statistics of Jesus. You know, you study the statistics of Jesus and the message that he preached, because you think about it, that Jesus was by himself when he first started. You know, the Father was with him. And then he progressively was with 12, correct?
Right.
And he trained these 12 up. He relayed to these 12. He spent time with these 12. And he just walked day-to-day life with them. And then he sent them out like sheep amongst wolves, mind you. That's dangerous out there. Yep, wolves, eh? It's like wolves. And so then he sends them out, and then they come back to him, and they report about what they have done. You know what I'm saying? What happened, you know? And then he goes from the 12, and then he goes to 72, and he sends the 72 out after being with them. And then at the end, when he is with the Father, and he says, I want you to go and tarry, there was 120 in the upper room. Think about it. 120 was in the upper room at that point. I mean, thousands of people were interested in Jesus. People were receiving from Jesus. People were getting healed, and people getting delivered, and people getting fed that were hungry. But when Jesus turns around, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Everybody except the disciples started leaving. These are people that he healed, that he delivered, that he provided for. He's so loving and he's so kind. But it boils down, you got to know him. You got to know this Jesus, you know, and he loves you. But you can't. Don't buy into religion. There's religion. You can have religion. There's so much religion all over the world. And what's happening right now, religion is coming to a crescendo across the earth, and you're going to see religious battles go on. But you understand that it's not about religion with Jesus. It's about a relationship, and it's about a family. You know, God, the Father God, wanted a family, so he sowed a son. And families have fathers and mothers, and we're sisters and brothers, and we're supposed to lay down our life for each other and live our life together. And people are supposed to fear coming amongst our number, and there should be a difference. You know, there's one thing we have about, you know, talking about some of our gatherings, that we see people that come in with wrong tensions, wrong motives to come amongst us. But we don't have to worry about that because we see what God does. I mean, we literally had somebody that came, and they were coming with wrong intentions to be able to harm somebody that was in one of the gatherings. And just like you read in the book of Acts, that all of a sudden they begin to choke. They begin to get, and for literally for almost, they had to leave. They literally just left. They could not stay in the presence of God. And the only thing the church was doing was just raising their hand and worshiping God and just nothing, no hype or nothing. But God's presence was so strong that God dealt with whatever he needed to deal. He knew the motives of people's hearts. And that person today, we understand now, is serving the Lord. Is that not awesome?
Wow, totally awesome.
Totally amazing. Awesome. I think about another situation. This is how the church is supposed, this is how the fullness of how we're supposed to be. I mean, you read the book of Acts, it's not a history book, it's an operation manual. But we're sitting, we're at a gathering, a VFM family gathering, and we're eating. We always eat when we come together. I mean, just like you read in the Word. And so a particular visitor comes that particular day, maybe a couple of visitors, I don't know. But this one was actually a leader in a kind of a traditional church setting. He's actually over the young people. He was over the young people. He said he was over the young people in that particular church. And so church gathering. And so he begins to tell us, and we're just eating and loving on him and all the different things. Everybody's having a great time. And we begin to worship God. And he actually even tells us that we're doing that wrong. Remember that? And so, you know, you don't have to impress anybody. Listen, when you're in the church, you don't care what people say. You know, it really doesn't, you know, you love them, but you're not defining yourself. He's like, really? Because if you walk with God and you see him in your life and you know that he's real and you know that you abide with him on a daily basis or spend time with him, you know, on a regular basis, that you're not concerned about all the other stuff. And so he immediately goes from explaining to us and, you know, how worship was supposed to be done, and God's presence just enveloped the place. It totally just enveloped the place. And we're just, you know, just worshiping God, you know, and he begins to cry out and just weep and just cries out in front of all of us, and tears start pouring down his face. This is the one that was telling us, the person who's over the youth at a particular, and he starts crying out. He says, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Is this not right? Did that?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a sinner. And they begin to cry out. And immediately there was a couple of men there that walked over with him, where everybody continued to worship, and they actually led him to a place of repentance and forgiveness, and his whole life, he was just totally freed in that one moment. Let me tell you something. Listen, there's a lot of religion going on, but not a lot of relationship. God wants you in a relationship. But really, it's because repentance is, like I said, you have to want to do it, but when you understand God's not religious, that he's relational, and things like this, you know, this is pretty cool when you find out that all this stuff really happens, and people that are sick get healed, and people who are bound are delivered. And there's one other situation that's going on. I want to talk about this. You know, talking about VFN TV, you know, you can actually subscribe for free to VFN TV. You have access to it. There's a few things that you can get right now on your app or at VFNTV.com, but you're a free subscriber. You have access to everything. But one of the particular things that you'll find in VFN TV teaching is called Deliverance from the Evil One. I mean, you think about it. You know, Jesus tells us how to pray. He says, teach us how to pray. And he's talking to the disciples, and he says, you know, of course, the Lord's Prayer that we talk about. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So he asks us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one.
And so we talk about empty houses and open doors, and you can get that if you want to subscribe to VFNTV.com. But the anointing of God, this teaching was going forth through VFNTV broadcasting around the world, America at that time. And in one part of that, when I'm talking about, come out, to speak into the demonic. And I remember we were actually in a meeting. And somebody and you just grabbed somebody off the street and just brought them in without even considering the church, the sheep, and just brought in this whole bad situation into the church, which is in a whole another we didn't talk about in the future, is that they didn't want to be there, and they were carrying the things in the world on them, and that doesn't clash well when you have the presence of God there. So one particular man, he was actually fell asleep in the middle of the teaching on VFN TV. And everybody that's there is actually listening to what's going on, what's happening, is this word's coming forth. And all of a sudden, right there in the middle of that, when this guy's laying on his right arm, he's spread out in front of the church. And is this true?
Yes.
And he saw spread out, sleeping in front of everybody. All of a sudden, I point at that out of that television. I'm pointing at the cameras. I'm so anointed what God is doing. He does this in his church everywhere. But we're telling you what's happening at VFN. And I just say, come out of him in Jesus' name. And immediately, he went from a dead sleep. He shot, set straight up, and that demon left that man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Sure did.
Yeah, I remember that the particular lady that was sitting right beside her hair shot straight up on her arm as she slid across the room. That understanding that this is this, you understand, listen, you don't need fictitious things, you don't need bungee jumping, you just need Jesus. There's nothing more adventurous than to live for God and what's taking place. This is an adventure, and all the things happen. There's people that are religious that just love, for some reason, they like being religious, but they don't want to follow God's way. So it's just real weird. You got those things going on, but you have, in the core of that, you have people who actually want to follow God. They love Jesus, and they want to walk with him. And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. You know, and so you think about that you'll want to walk with a God that when you read about him and you experience him, that everything he says he is, then you want to have that authentic, genuine relationship with him. There is just nothing like it.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than Old Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality, call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles. On the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign, visit Sue today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.